Hello and welcome. My name is Brad Thompson, and I'm a licensed professional counselor by trade. I'm also the parent of a 30-year-old daughter named Haley, who has a variety of special needs. I also serve as a peer support specialist for the Family Support and Empowerment Program that is hosted by the Child Neurology Foundation. And I am thrilled today to get to be a part of a conversation that is a part of a bigger series that is going on, talking about the emerging issues with children and their families that is coming as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic that we are experiencing. We want these sessions to bring together caregivers and health professionals to have a healthy conversation and provide expert advice to the child neurology community as we face a situation that we've truly never faced before. I want you to know that I think we're truly blessed to be joined today by two people that are experts in my mind. First is Kathy Levins, who's a parent of children with special needs and also a family support specialist for the Child Neurology Foundation, and Sandra Kushner-Weinstein, who is on the board of the Child Neurology Foundation and a social worker as well. Please introduce yourselves to our conversation. Kathy?
Hi, Brad. Thanks. My name is Kathy, and my son Matthew had Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, or LGS. As a single mom, I raised four young men in what felt like a constant state of crisis, learning to manage rare diagnoses for two of my children. I'm also no stranger to grief, having had to find my way after the sudden loss of three of my four boys. So today I find myself as a peer support specialist for the Child Neurology Foundation, and also I fill the role of the director of programs for the Lennox-Gastaut Syndrome Foundation, the LGS Foundation. Happy to be here.
Great. Sandy?
Hi, I'm Sandy Kushner-Weinstein. I'm a licensed clinical social worker as well as a physical therapist. I've started or founded two nonprofit organizations, one called PAC, Parents and Children Together, and one called Brainy Camps Association. I currently serve as the director of Brainy Camps, which serves children with chronic health conditions. And I'm on the board of the Child Neurology Foundation, which is quite an honor, as well as the professional advisory board for the Epilepsy Foundation of America. And today I will be helping Brad and Kathy as we move forward to talk about today's conference on resilience.
I'm so thankful that both of you are joining us. And, you know, we face this challenge of trying to make this just a conversational kind of approach, and yet we're sitting in multiple places around the country. So we're doing the best we can, and we hope that it's a support to each of you who end up watching and listening to this. We recognize that we are sitting in a very unique time in our country, that a time like we've never really experienced before. And while we're going to take a majority of our time with Kathy and Sandy talking about resilience, we also want to point out that resilience is not really something you can just go get. You don't sign up for courses in resilience. And typically resilience comes from experiencing hard things. And while we can talk theoretically from education and other things, both of the ladies that are speaking to us today are not only well-educated, but they've also gone through many struggles just in life and come out the other side. And one of the things that happens in resilience building experiences is anxiety. And I think we're all experiencing heightened levels of anxiety. And a very basic definition of anxiety is, can I handle, it's the question, can I handle what's coming my way? And I haven't found a ton of blessings in getting older, but one of those blessings is we've experienced a bunch of things, and we've experienced a bunch of hard things, and we've come out the other side. So that as we sit here in the midst of COVID-19, one thing I know is we will come out the other side. Now, I don't for a second want to trivialize the impact of this, and I don't want to trivialize the fact that for many, this may be the most challenging thing they've ever experienced. But one thing I know is that if you have a child with special needs, this is not the first major challenge you've experienced. And so that being the case, you have the opportunity to draw on those skills that you've developed through those hard things in life. And I want us to be able to see that. And just remember, when I'm talking with families, I ask the question, how many times have you been in a position where you said, I could never do that? And now you stand in a place where you've done that. And now you get to draw upon that experience. And so I'm going to stop talking because my experts are in the room. Kathy, I just want to start with you. What does resilience mean to you? And why is it important to you right now?
Well, I believe that resilience is something that comes after you've gone through those difficult moments. So it's the outcome of your own ability to face those difficult moments. Because, you know, none of us have the luxury of going through life with no challenges at all. We're all going to face some type of challenges, you know, depends on what level those challenges fall, but we're all going to have them. So it's resilience is our ability to adapt to the circumstances that we're faced with. Even if we're feeling like the pressure is too much for us, and believe me, there's been many days where I felt like the pressure was too much. But we realize at the end that we're still coming out of it standing, and we're stronger than perhaps when we went in, because we've grown and we've gotten some confidence, a level of confidence in our own decision-making. So right now, in the midst of COVID, we're facing a new moments of stress that we've not experienced before. So there are a lot of unknowns we're looking at. And a lot of unknowns on top of already stressful situations we may be in with children with special needs. So, and I can only speak from a personal place throughout my life. When I was faced with all those feelings, the pressure, being scared of the unknown, feeling like I don't have all the answers, and the realization that I'm probably not in control of the final outcome, like some things are just left to, there's a bigger decision maker out there than us. We like to be in control, but we're not always. What helped me the most was helping someone else. I found like that act, when I felt the most helpless, if I did something for someone else, it took the pressure off me for a moment, and it had me shift my focus, and it allowed me to break from the pressure, and it gave me a realization that I had something valuable to give away that might ease someone else's stress. So that's right now, I think that we can all find somebody to help standing next to us or across the country, or you know, you can always be that shoulder for someone. And really, if you allow that to happen, I think that most times those are the people that you it's reciprocal. So at that point, at one moment, that person might be stronger than you and they'll be the one you're leaning on. So, resilience is the final outcome of all of that, of that whole process. It's not a bag, like you said, that you carry.
Yeah. And we gain strength from each other. And so we've had more life experience than many. And one of the things that is valuable about having you, Sandy, on our call is you spend a lot of time with young people in trying to help them build resilience and deal with anxiety through really difficult challenges without the life experience that some of us older folks have. And so I'd love for you to just talk about some of those skills and strategies that go into helping us build resilience for this journey.
Thank you, Brad. Glad to. First of all, let me just say that resilient individuals, resilient kids, resilient adults tend to have three things. One is a sense of hope. A sense of hope is very important. As you said, Kathy, they contribute to the well-being of others. And thirdly, they create a meaning for the struggle. So there's some type of creation for the meaning of the struggle. Behaviorally, they learn to become more aware of others in order to do that, and manage negative feelings and become more flexible. But let's talk about some of the skills that I try to encourage when I do groups with kids. We got to listen to what it is they struggle with. One is they're not sleeping well. You know, they're having trouble sleeping. Well, they're practical things that we encourage them to do. Read a book. Don't watch TV. Get off the screen an hour before. Those are practical things. In addition, if they have persistent feelings, worries, concerns, struggles, but the worrying becomes intense, write the thoughts down. Write them down. You know, many times I'll tell the kids, look back to that moment, write it down, validate your feelings. Secondly, they'll say they have a difficult time concentrating. They can't focus. They can't concentrate. They have to do the schoolwork on screen, but they can't concentrate. We say, reduce your tasks, make a list, reduce the expectations for yourself, but get a few things done. Share your worries with others. Relax. Take a moment to relax. Stop and just exercise a little bit. Do jumping jacks in place, but stop. Do something that engages you for a short period of time. Kids will also say to me that they're frustrated, they're angry, they get easily irritable with each other or with their parents. I encourage them to separate their feelings from the behavior, so that what is it they're doing with that anger? I'll often say to kids, okay, stop. Count to 10, take a deep breath, count to 10, and then throw your anger in the trash can. Just get rid of the anger, throw it away, which is an active, you know, behavior. Mm-hmm. And then rejoin and focus on what's most important. And then share their experience with others. They're all online in a group, so sharing the experience is very important. And sometimes it's saying I'm sorry, or, you know, looking at ways to forgive themselves, or, you know, work it out with somebody else. So normalizing the experience, regardless of how they do it, is most important, because as Brad said, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody is homebound, you know, together for a period of time. And for many kids, it's an opportunity to share a meal together with their family. They're not running around doing 10 different things. Their parents aren't coming home late. Share the experience, build a team of support. And if you can, start the day looking for opportunities to have special moments, because these moments will be what you remember. So joyful moments are special moments, sharing them together. And we share them online with each other in a group. So those are just a few pointers.
I love those things, Kathy, or Sandy. Kathy, is there anything before we wrap this up that you'd like to add in terms of just thoughts from a caregiver's perspective?
I think in general, I think we need each other. You can't, isolation is not a good thing. So I think that we need to find ways, especially now, to connect that are maybe outside of some of our abilities. I mean, we're all learning how to use social media better and learning, you know, new avenues of communication to keep the connection going. And I think that the connection is so important, and being willing to maybe step the next outside that box and sharing how you're feeling and asking for help and really connecting with others.
Great. Sandy, I'd love for you to, you mentioned that we have time that we haven't had in maybe a generation to have dinner together as a family unit. What would you encourage around dinner time conversation now that we have this space we had never had before?
Well, there are many, many dinner time conversations. You can rotate who leads the conversation. It's an opportunity to teach, to remind ourselves and teach kids how to take control and make the most of that opportunity. So if we shift around leading the conversation or the topic of discussion, it gives kids control in a different way at a time when everybody feels out of control. And I just wanted to say one thing that you brought up, Brad, that I think is extremely important. And Kathy, you deal with all the time when you're working with families. You know, families have been through a lot. This isn't the hardest thing they've ever done for many, many families and many of us. And we have learned how to be better self-managers over time, much more aware of how to take charge, of how to deal with different situations, the triggers that bring about symptoms and exacerbate, you know, different situations. We've learned to become more flexible as a result. That's an incredible skill that our families have learned, the kids have learned. And it's a good time to remind them of those strengths and remind ourselves of those strengths.
That's a great word. Great word. Thanks. One of the things, you know, I think dinner time conversation is almost a lost art. And I would encourage all families to get a bucket and put their phones far away from that dinner table and look each other in the eye and actually have a conversation, important or unimportant, but to have conversation. And we know that we live in this really complicated time, and there are things that come with some of the situations that we're having to do right now that present troubles. I'm stuttering here trying to get finished. The things that we're doing to prevent the spread of COVID-19 present challenges all on their own. And believe me when I say, I agree with the idea of social distancing and how important it is. And while it is important, the idea and the fact of isolation when we're social distancing creates some mental health concerns as well. Things like depression and anxiety that just get worse when we don't have anyone to talk to. And so while we're figuring out all of these challenges, how to work from home, which is a struggle, how to work from home while being your child's school teacher, and all of those things that are coming about, how to live 24/7 with people that you used to get a break from because they went to school and to work and other things. We are experiencing challenges that we've never experienced before. And that makes it all the more important to find ways to stay connected to those people who keep you emotionally healthy. And what we want to offer you who might be listening as the Child Neurology Foundation is, if you don't have that group or you don't have that person, we would be honored to step into that space with you and for you as best we can through this period of time. And if you have any questions about that, you can reach out to us through the Child Neurology Foundation website. And if you just have more questions about COVID-19 and all that's going on around it, and you're looking for a trusted source to get your information, we have a COVID-19 resource center on the Child Neurology Foundation website. And we'll list that for you at the end of this conversation. The last thing I want to leave you with is this, is that together we will get through this. And together we are all child neurology. Thank you for joining us. And I hope this is a blessing to you and hope it helps you as we move through this. Thank you.